Thank you. Can I just say, I know there's an awful lot of information that's been presented there, and it is very difficult to get your head around. I've seen this quite a significant number of times now. It took me a few times. And so, as Felicity says, there's an awful all this stuff is on the website. The consultation document will be available, so I would encourage you to read and reread so you're happy with the information. For that reason, obviously, we are very happy, more than happy, to take views this evening, but this is also a good opportunity, should you wish to clarify any information you've seen, ask for any explanation of it. Those sort of questions are more than welcome. Please do remember that the response time is open until the 30th of April. So there is plenty of time to explore the information further should you really want to think about and consider the views that we hope you will put forward. And please don't think that this is your only opportunity to ask questions. I think Felicity has also said this. But through the consultation email address, you can also post questions as well. Ask for further information, ask for clarification. It's not just that we're here to tell you this all tonight and then we expect to hear your views with no further chance to get information. Please, if you want to seek any further information, clarification, use the email address. That's one of the reasons it's there. So, again, time for me to be quiet, and I will try and do this as fairly as I can. I'm not the world's best, but I think the gentleman there towards the back row first, and then Mark is next.
Hello. Richard Bright, just saying, all the problems that you seem to have highlighted for these secondary schools seem to be, there does seem to be one simple solution, which seems to be to close Christ the King. Is that to stop all the problems with travelling across the island, you know, the problems on Wellington Road, and in terms of surface places?
It is an option. On the basis that all options are open. And if you would like to propose that, that's fine, and we will consider it as part of the consultation.
I shouldn't be something to consider.
We are looking at all options, but I do have to say that closing the school that is the most popular on the island at the moment
and selective.
Is probably going to be...
I'm trying to find something, you know, solutions for local schools, for local people.
Yeah.
We've got people travelling across the island. Yeah.
Totally understand the point. Sorry, Steve, do you want to say?
Can I also ask, so I'll leave the microphone with the, it looks like an expanded version mastermind here this evening. I'll just speak up so we don't have to keep flinging microphones around. One thing I forgot to say, please when asking your question, it would help if you could give a name and also your role. Are you a parent? Are you a teacher? That will help to inform the responses to that. Yes, I said Mark next.
Mark Chiverton. I have got one son who's still in the education system, but I'm not asking this question because I think by the time this reorganisation goes through, probably he'll be out of school. I was asking this question as a trade union secretary representing hundreds of support staff. Now, I don't want to hijack the meeting to talk about the concerns of staff, but I would like to hear what plans you've got to engage with staff about this issue, because I can remember going to dozens and dozens of consultation meetings around the school reorganisation, so much so that we were almost consulted out, and I think many people would say possibly not necessarily to the benefit of either staff and particularly pupils. I don't want to hijack this because this has got to be about the wishes of parents and pupils, but it nevertheless, the views of staff are important. They have got many insights into the situation. We've already seen 200 or 300 jobs lost on the Isle of Wight as a result of the last reorganisation. It's very unsettling, which isn't brilliant in terms of recruitment and retention of staff. And I would like to know what steps you'll be taking to try to stabilise that and ease those kinds of concerns. If we were talking about this situation 10 years ago, you'd have had a lot more control and influence over that, because you'd be just one local authority employing most of the staff. As it is, you've got at least four or five employer groups. I just want to know what reassurance you can give to staff and how you're going to deal with that, because this is very unsettling on top of what has been a very prolonged and unsettling period anyway. Thank you.
If I may, obviously we're fully aware of the anxiety that any consultation like this will cause, not just amongst parents and children, but also staff. What we have said to all of the individual schools is, I and colleagues are more than happy to meet with staff at schools at their invitation, happy to do so. The difficulty one has at this stage in the consultation process, what are the outcomes going to be? What might the decision be when you can then actually get into the nitty-gritty of what does this mean for individual people? So we can only talk in a generalistic way, if you like, but what I would say is, the Isle of Wight Council, that they are very, very aware of the anxiety that is being caused amongst staff. And they are the employer in the main, and I take your point, it is a far more difficult job now with different employers and so on, academies and the like, but we'll want to work with all of those schools, with all of the employers, to make sure that we can do the best we possibly can for the staff. Let's not kid ourselves, depending upon the outcome, there may be some difficult decisions to be taken and some difficult decisions for individual staff to take, but what we would want to do is to try and minimise those as much as we possibly could.
Just come back, just correct you, because it is the fact there are hundreds of staff employed by the council in the primary school sector. By and large, those staff in the secondary school sector, for want of a better term, are employed by either individual academies, academy chains, or trusts. So, in actual fact, you can cajole, encourage, or whatever, but you can't directly influence.
That's a fair comment, yes. But we want to work with those academy trusts and so on to get the best possible outcomes for any staff who might actually find themselves in a difficult position as a result of whatever comes.
Can I just add that part of this process, what we're doing tonight, it is engaging. And yeah, you're absolutely right, Mark. I mean, it's been said a number of times with the post-16. We have little or no power, but we have a duty and we have influence. And so that's why we're hoping to talk to people and engage, so we can find a unified way forward. And just to really repeat what Chris said in relation to your first part, we don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. There's no plan. We're very conscious of the issues. When we have an outcome from this consultation, when we have the results, the statistics, whatever what form it comes in, then with that consciousness, we'll be able to take things forward. But it's not that we're not thinking about this, it's just you can't decide the way forward until you know which way you're going. The gentleman's here just on the end of the road, about halfway down. Next.
Hi, my name's Mr. Grant. I'm a parent here. I would like to see option two, well, not option two and option three. I like the idea of amalgamating Carisbrook and Medina and relocating to the Carisbrook site. As the gentleman here said, Christ the King site is far too small. We're all aware of that. Why not relocate Christ the King up to Medina and use the Christ the King site as a sixth form college? That would alleviate a lot of the traffic problems.
You're not the first to mention that. There are a few technical issues that perhaps Felicity is probably best to mention.
Yes, my dear.
Yes, it is an idea. Just some technical issues. Some of it is around government funding. So the Christ the King site has been earmarked for the priority school building funding. And the priority school building funding would not fund any sort of sixth form build. So the Christ the King buildings are not fit for purpose going forward, but would not be suitable for a sixth form to move into those buildings as they are, and the priority school building money is most unlikely to fund any change on for a sixth form. So that's a problem. The Medina site has got buildings that would lend itself to a sixth form. So I do see what you're saying. I mean, it's something that we can look at, but it has got its complications.
And it'd be a bit big as a sixth form.
Christ the King site?
No.
Medina? No, it's probably about right. Martin can pick up on some
questions. Can we just keep an order to the questions?
So Martin will pick up on some transport. Sorry, but we'll carry on, but we will tackle the transport at some point. I'm sure we'll hear questions.
Now, I'm trying to take things in order. Be as fair as possible. There's a gentleman here, then there's a lady in the blue jacket, and then that gentleman over there. And then we'll come to you. I can't remember that. So, down here, gentlemen.
Thank you, Ian Pont, our local resident. It seems very sensible, yes, to go for option two, merge with Ealing Carisbrook. A 13 form entry school is quite a viable school. 11 form entry certainly very viable. There's sufficient space here, and it would be possible to access the building from another area, from say Forest Road area of this area, rather than necessarily straight up the central road here. I think perhaps you might, on the next one, next consultation, want to split your questioning into two halves, one on to sixth form reorganisation, and perhaps look at the 11 to 16 provision as well, and set the questions so that you're targeting both areas rather than a whole lot at the same time. Moving on to the second part, the post 16, I think it's very important that we focus on young people. Young people who live on an island will have a lot of questions and a lot of guidance required to get them to go to further education, higher education off the island. Certainly even on a small island like Canby Island, to get them to go, when I was working there, to get them to go onto the mainland was a major operation. And to get young people to go to higher education off the island, having been educated here, needs a great deal of guidance from the career service. If you're going to put that kind of provision in, it needs to be on one or two institutions, rather across a whole series of different sixth forms, and certainly the guidance that they'll thereafter get would be much better thereafter. Kids need help, they need support, they need to know the staff they're working with, and they need high quality teaching as well as. If you can put that in place, then I think we've got a winner.
Thank you very much. Lady here.
Yes. My name is Amanda Dayson, and I'm a mother and on the parent council at Carisbrook. There's a few points. First of all, I'd like to say, although you've said that no decision has been made, you would be the first. I'm not saying that you would, but you would be the first person to say that. And in actual fact, you're just jumping through the hoops that you have to go through, and the decision has already been made. Secondly, I would like to know the funding that has been promised to Carisbrook. Should Medina not be large enough, which is what you have stated tonight from the 11th form entry, that money would be for a rebuild or a refurb on the Carisbrook site. Thirdly, as a parent of a child who travels from West White, should you just merge the two schools, basically we are left with Hobson's choice. In other words, we've got one school of choice, because logistically you are not going to send your child to any other school on the island. So I would like those matters addressed, please.
I think there's more comment than question. I mean, is there a specific question you want to...
Funding for Carisbrook? That will be a rebuild on the Carisbrook site or a refurb?
Again, listen
back. If it's a merge, and that's guaranteed.
Yeah. So if there is funding allocated to Carisbrook College on the Carisbrook site, if there was a merger, that funding would be there for that merged school on the Carisbrook site.
And that is guaranteed.
The DfU have said that is, they would
you are
be
saying
able
that
to
that
do
that.
Yes.
It's the gentleman there after Jackie.
Good evening. I'm Mark Elmore, I'm Deputy Chair of Governors here at Carisbrook for the Dean College. This is the second time I've heard the presentation. I came to the launch event last week. And it's the second time I've heard a comment about the logistics and the transport arrangements around this area, if different options are considered. It's an observation, really. There was a time not very long ago where there were two successful middle schools and a successful full high school here, and the transport was coped with. So it's not going to be a problem because it's been before.
Thank you. The lady here.
My name is Mrs. Driscoll, and I'm a parent. What I want to ask is, you've raised a lot of facts and figures about about saving money, about moving this. I've not heard one thing tonight about how you intend to raise standards. Nothing at all. And surely that's what we're saying is the most important thing.
Martin, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening and thanks for your time tonight. I think obviously the core question that's been posed is why we're here. The bottom line is we've got to improve the outcomes for the youngsters throughout the system on the island. There's a massive amount of work currently going on in the primary phase, making sure that when children start to attend school, they get the best possible start in their educational life. And as they progress through the system, as they get into secondary school, that they then can move forward in the most positive way. The nub of that is high quality leadership and high quality teaching and learning. And I think from the turbulence that occurred before because of the reorganisation and the way it was done, we're still living on the legacy of some of that. Be reassured in terms of Pete Shaw as your head teacher at Carisbrook College, there couldn't be anybody more driven from a moral purpose and obviously pupil outcome perspective than Pete. I work with Pete and the governing body on a regular basis. And I know he's doing everything possible in conjunction with the staff in the college to make sure those outcomes improve. But we're on a journey, and there are still major issues in terms of recruiting high-quality teachers to the island. I think the question that was posed about staff, support staff, we've already got turbulences in the system. I was sat in a meeting last night with the governors and the senior leaders of Carisbrook and Medina College, and if something is not done, and I mean not done, in some creative way, we will continue year on year to have turbulence in the system. Because at the moment, the pupil places are causing angst in a number of different contexts. But I really want to stress, the reason that I do what I do is because I want the best possible deal for all the youngsters on the island schools throughout the school system, including post-16.
You still haven't actually told me exactly what you're going to do to improve those standards. My view is you're now suddenly going to be making one massive school here. The standards here at the moment across the island are not great. How is that going to improve?
Well, currently we are deploying a massive workforce, and the question you posed as an example, there are additional resources going into this college in particular to actually support the development of better quality teaching and learning, which improves the outcomes for the youngsters. Examples of that, English and Maths support, Science support, Art support, any other curriculum areas that need support, that's going on currently.
And where is that funding coming from?
That funding is coming from the local authority.
So, but why is it coming just for here? If there's a merger?
It's not just coming for here. Across the system, if you look at all the inspection reports, currently, since the partnership evolved 15 months ago, and I would advise you do read the letters from the monitoring visits, the Section 8 monitoring visits, for this college and other colleges across the island that have been in Catterbury, Rye and Sandown Bay, you will notice in the external support section towards the end of that letter, the support of the local authority, and as and where appropriate, from a sponsored academy status, AET and Ormiston, the support that both the sponsor and the local authority is giving is actually making the difference that needs to be made at this moment in time. Sandown Bay and Rye are both out of Catterbury now. Obviously, Cowes Enterprise College now belongs to the Ormiston Trust. Obviously, Pete and colleagues in this college are moving towards a full Section 5 inspection at the end of this term, where it's likely that the college will come out as a required improvement college, and that's then the next stage in its journey. So in terms of the question you just posed about what are we currently doing, there is a massive amount of resource going in to support colleagues in this college and the other colleges across the island. There are professional development activities where colleagues are actually encouraged to attend network meetings to actually obviously learn from each other. We've got connections with other schools on the mainland, which again is enhancing the capacity of schools. I could go on. There are a large number of things coming into play, and it doesn't happen overnight. We've been doing this for 15 months, and I think when you look at...
I just appreciate that just tonight, it all
seems
money, tax and things about moving and
not about kids. Well, it is about children. Yeah.
You need to emphasise that, though. Yes, I fully take those comments, but standards underpins absolutely everything. That's what it's about. And if you compare the situation 18 months ago to where it is now, it's a very different place. It's still not good enough, not by a long shot. My vision, I might be a bit of an idealist, but I want everything to be outstanding. And if we don't have that goal, why do we bother doing this? It's about standards. It's about getting the best for our children.
So can I just add to that, John? I was in a meeting this morning with Jonathan, and there were questions about the aspirations of young people on the island. It's not the aspirations of the young people. It's the aspiration in general across the island. And it's about us, as adults, making sure that we have the highest possible aspirations for the children that attend the local schools. And that goes back to what Jonathan's just said as well.
I think, was there one more question there? And then there's one in the back row there, and then we'll come down this side. So.
I'm a parent of two children at Harris, but year 7 and 11. You've gone through projected figures for children up to 2023. So I would presume that you had figures 10, 5 years ago on what was going to happen now. So I'd like you to explain, based on the amount of empty seats you've got in the schools available, why you then went forward and allowed two new providers of 11 to 16 education on the island, which has just exacerbated the problems.
I think all the statistics actually... The statistical situation has changed a lot, and also why we had those two new schools, there's a bit more of a story to it than just we allowed it, but I'll let Martin take that one.
Is that working?
Yeah,
I won't bother. In answer to your question, I'll take the fact that we have a free school and a studio school on the island first and foremost. We sat with at the launch event with a colleague from the Education Funding Agency who was very, very pointedly asked that question by a student, I think, in Carisbrook. And he said, why have we got a free school? And the answer was given by our colleague from the EFA, and he said it was a politician's decision that brought more choice onto the island. The same answer can only be true of the studio school. It introduces at Key Stage 4 and into post 16 some more choice on the island. If you were to ask me as a school place planner, a job that I do in Hampshire and now do on the island, we didn't need 625 places in Ventnor because all of those 625 places when they're eventually filled by intakes in 15, 16, 17 and so on are surplus to what was needed. It's also true at Key Stage 4 that the 125 places for Year 10 and then Year 11, so 250 in that phase, are not needed. There were already places for those children and then some beyond that in the existing provision. So that there isn't an answer that says we planned those into the system or we even wanted them into the system. They are now there and they are a factor in how we have to present the information here tonight.
There are the loss of all the other schools.
I can't dispute that fact. You're right. I can't bring them into the forecasting methodology in a way that would be a whole picture because there's been one intake into the free school and one intake into the studio school. And so the impact and how that might play out over the years of having recruitment to those two schools isn't something I could clearly share for you. But even if I could, your point would still be right. They are 625 places and 250 places over and above what is required in terms of just...
But shouldn't we be looking at why those children chose to go to those schools?
Sorry?
Those families chose their children to go to those schools, so because it was missing at the schools they should have gone to. So shouldn't we be looking at why they picked there and didn't pick here?
Yeah, I was going to just finish my comment by saying on a sufficiency point only, you are quite right. That they're not needed in terms of providing. There's a whole different element around parental preference. There could be something really quite simple for Ventnor families about how long the journey is for those 11, 12, 13-year-olds in terms of going to school. So there's one point which is sufficiency that you've made, which is right and can't be argued with. There are other points, which might be the politician's point, that choice was introduced by having both the studio school and the free school on the island.
Can I just add one thing for the avoidance of doubt? Those decisions on those schools were not made by anybody on the Isle of Wight. They were made by Michael Gove. They're national decisions by the Secretary of State for Education.
The Isle of Wight is going to deal with the problem now, though, isn't it?
You're absolutely right.
When those numbers were created, though, why wasn't it balanced out with the numbers that already existed? So you wouldn't have
the government policy choice. Was about, the government policy was absolutely clear that they did not mind if they introduced more surplus places into the system. It was just about introducing choice. And it's not just on the Isle of Wight where that programme has introduced more surplus places than we needed.
You talk right, about sorry, we do have a few people lined up for questions. The point, you've said it absolutely right there. We're dealing with a situation no one in their right mind would design.
And before we have our next question, I just want to add to the picture that goes with it, which is that when the Free School came into being, the Isle of Wight Council, looking at the pieces comment to follow on from, did have to think about how it organised homeschool transport. Because children from Ventnor, you know this, you don't need me to tell you, but children from Ventnor were previously in a priority area for Medina School, and so could have free homeschool transport into Newport with Medina as the destination. Because the free school came into being, and in law it is what is called a qualifying school, as soon as we possibly could as a council, we had to review the homeschool transport policy and give the free school a place in that homeschool transport policy. And that's largely why you have, from September 2015, a revised transport policy taking on the approach that it does. It also makes the offer in homeschool transport the statutory minimum, but there was no other way, really, of introducing the free school, I'll say, onto the map, because they are the nearest school for families living in that southern end of the island in the way that we've shown on the maps. So there have been implications in terms of sufficiency and numbers of school places. There have been implications for homeschool transport. There are implications, which I can't fully map for you yet, or probably can in about 5 years' time, as to how it impacts on school admissions across the authority.
Right, go back to the list. The lady at the back has been very patient. Yes.
My name is Mary Morris. I have 3 children at the school, and I'm also involved in medical recruitment at hospital, which sounds like it's irrelevant, but actually the perceived poor level of education on the island has a big impact on being able to attract doctors and, in fact, any other of the large companies to the island. My question is really about sixth form provision. I don't understand why there's any advantage in looking at anything except having just one sixth form. You've demonstrated that having multiple providers does nothing to raise standards, and that we know that there are 6 centres now where there's one pupil in each odd class. I don't understand what advantage can be gained by not having just one sixth form. And I don't buy the travel option. You know, as parents, some parents think I've got 5.5 and 6.15 votes at the moment. So why is anything other than one sixth form a good idea?
Depends on your views.
Well, that's exactly that's a preference. That's a preference that you may want to put forward as part of a response.
But actually, I don't understand what the advantage of having 2 sixth forms is. Why is that better? Why are the standards higher than in one? Because you offer those options, and I'm being asked to vote on that. But I don't understand why 2 would be better than 1.
Again, I'd encourage you to submit that view as a response to the process. We presented 4 options and deliberately included anything else in terms of what people might feel makes for a viable system. One reason you want to perhaps have more than one provider, of course there's a risk about having one provider, all's good when it's going well. If it's not, then that's an issue. There's the issue of choice. Some young people might prefer to learn within a smaller school-type environment. Others perhaps thrive in a more adult, young people's large college-type environment. So I'm not arguing with you. I think it's a valid point to submit, but there may be reasons why others feel that having more than one institution is the way to go.
I think next is the lady in the red jacket at the very back there. And then I think 2 questions
happened.
I didn't see where the
hands
were, but there
were
definitely.
Yeah. Hi, my name's Ali. My daughter is at Medina High School. We come from Knighton, so I have 2 children that have come through Knighton now. One's still there. So my eldest daughter has gone through 2 years in a primary school which wasn't designed to take her age group, and she's now moved into high school which wasn't designed to take her age group either. So she's been a guinea pig in this complete restructuring that you're talking about. She's now semi-settled at Medina. I say she's not completely engaged by the teaching there, to be quite honest with you, but she's there. She has to travel 45 minutes at the beginning and at the end of the day to get to that school, which probably doesn't help. And now you're talking about moving the school that she's at to another place. Now, if you were to bring that into one of these super schools, as you call it, I would consider taking my daughter and probably my younger daughter out of education altogether on the island, because I feel completely let down. My daughter's been a guinea pig, so when you look at the statistics in a couple of years' time about the A-level results, how can you expect them to have anything better than the worst results? Because their education has been mucked up for the last couple of years and is going to be for the foreseeable future. And my other concern is, talking about moving Medina, I think it's all about retail price of the land they sat on, personally.
Totally dispute the last point. I do very much take the point about disruption to children. My daughter is 11. She was in year one when it was proposed her primary school was closed down. The reason I'm standing here as leader of the Arlwright Council, I went into the election in 2009 on the back of getting involved in that campaign. So I very much appreciate that there is disruption, trauma and everything involved in this. She's now at one of the schools that we're talking about. I just recognise that situation, but I think it relates to what this lady here was saying. For historical reasons, we've got unfinished business. I would...
My child is going to suffer for that.
Sorry?
My child is going to suffer for that.
Do we stop here and say everything's fine, or do we say we've got unfinished business?
I think you made an interesting point. What I'm concerned about is if you're taking your youngster out of schooling, because I think being part of a community, a learning community, is really, really important.
But she wants to be within a learning community.
No, but one of the things I'm really concerned about on the island, which links back into unfinished business that Jonathan's talking about, there are over nearly 300 kids now being educated at home for a variety of different reasons, different contexts. And actually, if we work together, because I think the point was made earlier on about attracting a relevant workforce to the island so it is a vibrant economy, and making sure that youngsters, as they go through the education system, contribute to that and then obviously move forward. We've got to do it. We've got to do it collectively. We have got to work in partnership. The business community are really working hand in hand now with the school system, and I think we've got to stick, together and work as effectively together as possible. And actually, at a difficult time, yes, what your child needs is your support to make sure it works within the system that we're actually in. That's the important bit for me.
You can say that about the system, but systems are throughout the country not working. The political system, the government system, these things are not working. Our council is quite often not working. So we have to look at other options. And I think your talk that actually there's 300 children that are being home educated as a bad thing is actually they're getting completely supported by their parents. And I don't think it should be looked upon as a bad thing. But it should reflect badly on the education system and not the island. People are choosing that home.
But what we're trying to say is what we're trying to say here is we want to make the system better. And if we are going to make the system better, we've got to work together. That's the important thing.
But the lady's saying it's not working, and that's why 300 people are taking the option to homeschool.
For a variety of different reasons.
But the majority is the destabilisation of losing the middle schools, the primary schools not being able to cope with the 2 extra years. And then putting them into super schools that aren't going to be able to adjust the children sufficiently to get to the percentages of the mainland qualifications. And so that's the reason they're taking them out, a lot of them, the ones that I speak to.
I think if we get this right now, you will actually end up with the outcomes and be in line or best in the last
language. Because we've got a lot of us got kids here that are in year 7, year 8. Would you expect those outcomes to happen? And at what cost?
Well, they're starting to happen now.
They are. But if you move and make this a super school, it's at what cost to the students that would end up.
It's not a super school.
It will be the biggest school on the island.
What will we start classes?
I'm can we get back to the, there's been some very patient people. These are all absolutely valid comments. I'm really pleased that people are coming up with all these points, and I'm hoping you're going to put them forward as part of this debate.
They are. You're looking forward now. You're not answering.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what the outcome is going to be, because we don't know. We've gone into how, was it, another 12 of these events, and hear views from audiences like this round the island. And I hope we get as many views as we're getting tonight, and then we're going to form a view. You're asking me to say what the outcome's going to be now, and I'd be a fool if I did that, because I don't know, and I'd be doing it without hearing everyone's views. So that's why I'm wanting everyone's views to come forward. Now, gentleman in the blue jacket.
I've got grandchildren at three of the schools that you're talking about. I've listened to all your statistics, and they're the same statistics that I've seen when I've gone to each of the schools. What really does concern me is you just forget about those children that are not going to get these high grades, that are going into vocational education, and they're going in and making, you're not telling us any figures of what you're doing to increase, you know, and where these children are actually getting jobs. How are you placing them into these jobs with the education you're giving them? Never do you mention the children that are not going to make these GCSEs, A-levels and everything else. When are you going to start judging yourself on those children that are out there looking for jobs, looking for places for apprenticeships and everything else? It's all blown over every time, even when you go into the schools. And I never hear any statistics about what you do for those children.
I think we have some quite good statistics on the vocational side of things.
Yes, and I won't throw lots of data here now to make sure that through the process we ensure that the data is available publicly, as it is through the government website. But a few things. There's currently just under 4% of young people aged 16, 17, 18 who are NEET. That means they're not in education employment training. That's below the regional average, that's below the national average. That correlates with what we were saying earlier about the ILOAC does a good job in getting young people to do things, that they, you know, to go on to things after school, whether it be vocational, academic, apprenticeships, or what we used to call foundation learning, so engagement programs for young people who perhaps haven't achieved that well at 16. And need some further support to move on.
But if you go back a few years, you used to look at what the industries were around the island, and you used to look at how you put that education into those people that are going to go and do those skilled jobs, and you would, you know, you take Cowes. Cowes used to have a very good boat building education within the school. Miss Moyer got rid of it, because it didn't suit her A-level grades. You've got other schools which used to look at the apprenticeships that they needed around the area, and then run the courses to allow those children to go out and get those jobs. You don't do it now.
I can assure you it does happen now. I'd also take the point that we need to do more. We would in no way want to be complacent, but I made reference to the Further Education College. It's outstanding. It's got 1,400 learners, only 200 doing A-levels, all the rest are doing vocational or foundation learning programmes. About £20 million is going to be spent on engineering training facilities both in Newport and a new composite training centre in East Cowes linked to GKN, is it? Apologies, GKN. So there's absolutely a response in terms of investment and new courses linked to the island's economy. And the idea is to ensure that young people are in place and trained to step into those jobs as the current workforce ages, retires and moves on. Can we do more? Absolutely. About 5% of young people leave, again, 16 to 18, are doing apprenticeships on the Isle of Wight. In Hampshire, it's only 3%. You do much better than us, proportionately. And the average nationally is about 5.5%. So, again, room for improvement, but doing well. So you've got a very successful vocational technical training system on
the island. So going back into the 60s,
I don't remember.
Sorry, when Geoffrey Massey came to the island, the council encouraged, by giving good rates to businesses on the island, to encourage them to come to the island. Where are you working with the councils to try to get everything else and bring these businesses back to the island instead of killing the high business rates?
Stepping out of my immediate area, because I know it's a valid point and comment, and the link between skills and economy is an issue of the moment. And you may have heard of local enterprise partnerships. It's a solid local enterprise partnership. They've secured funding in excess of £100 million, I think, from the central government recently to invest across the Solent, but that does include the island. And there have been a number of initiatives which Jonathan may know more about than I.
That's one of them. It's a major drive that we're going to. It's quite a success story on the vocational side, which is why we're concentrating on the A-level side here. I'm a little conscious we're heading into a wider debate. We're starting to sound like the general election's on its way. But I'm conscious that time, we're now about 10 to 8. I know there's still some questions. I've come over this side of the moment. There was a question, lady here, and then if we go around, try and get as many, we'll have to go. I don't know, can we go a little bit over time?
Yeah, it's your meeting.
Okay. I don't want to breach any fire regulations, so thank you for watching.
I've got a child at sixth form, and I have a child here, and I have a child just about to leave primary school, so three. My concern is, how does all this small consultation affect our head in getting good staff to come over? Because I'm worried that any, you know, really good staff from the mainland are going to be put off because they're going to think, God, they're mucking around again, I might wait. And because my worry is this, we're going to go on and on and on with consultations after consultation. We need to do something now. And so I would like to know, have you a timetable for the consultation?
Yep.
Or does it just go on?
30th of April.
My worry is, I've heard that September, Medina are moving up here. Now, that sounds absolutely ridiculous to me. I'm not kidding, about 15 people have told me that. And that sounds really unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if there's like a deadline when you want to be sorted, when, you know, that kind of thing.
We have two. In terms of the consultation, we need a full and detailed consultation, so that's why it's running for just over 3 months. It closes on the 30th of April. As Felicity said, one of the key drivers is the need to persuade central government that we've done this exercise and done it properly and got a result that is justifiable so that they can sign the check to the money. So we're looking at decisions this summer. As we don't know what the outcome is going to be, I'm not going to say it will be June, it will be July, because part of the final decision might be that we're going up to central government to say, this is what the outcome is, this is what the people have said, it's not what you originally promised us, can we talk? Now, we know from the Educational Funding Agency, we had the chat here at the launch, that their original position that we're not talking, it's that or nothing, they've moved back from that, and that's a positive. But, you know, we have got to find out what the result is, and we may be going up to have those discussions, but we are conscious that there's a time scale to sign the cheque and the money. I can't remember the date for that.
I totally understand what you're saying about sort of blight, etc. So we will move as swiftly as we can to come to a conclusion. The conclusion is certainly not the Medina moves up here in September. That does not come from anyone, any officer, I assure you. I don't know if anyone wants to say anything about teacher recruitment, but acknowledges.
Well, can I say, we had recently had a teacher recruitment fair, I think it was last week, in Winchester, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the message we were sending there was, things are getting a lot better on the Isle of Wight. You may have heard horror stories in the past, and yeah, they're probably true. But look at the changes, and what Steve was referring to, look at the improvements that have been brought about. Look at the number of secondary schools that are at the bottom of the list now compared with where it was 18 months ago. It's a very different picture. It's actually a good time for teachers to come to the island because things are getting better and we're on an upward journey very much. That's the message I think is appropriate.
They just
send
the children down Christ King.
Well, matters them, I can't comment on that. Now, gentlemen here.
Oh,
sorry. Yes, you have your hand up. I do apologise. Labour first. I told you I wasn't very good at this.
I'm Melanie Lacey, and I've got more than 2.2 children. I've got six. They're all boys. So there are, not always very good, are they, boys? But I have supported them. I'm quite.
Is the microphone working? I can see a few people at the back.
Sure.
Okay, can you hear me now? Right, Melanie Lacey, I've got six boys. Five of them have gone on to uni and they've all come here. My sixth one went down to Christ the King because that's what he wanted. But I insisted he moved to no-till sixth form because my others have done so well. And he hasn't regretted that. He's very lonely because he's the only Christ the King pupil to have done that. But the teachers down there are superb. And I just want to support them. And I do think you should keep the sixth form in that beautiful building there because it actually looks like a university. And I think children on the island need to be inspired and not just shoved on the end of their school. They move, need to move on. The other thing is, when they're saying that the children are moving, they're good doing their post-16 in year 12, but they're taking 3 years, I think often the teenagers need that year 12 to settle down and think, actually, this isn't a good thing. And then they do need their 2 years, either at college or to stay on at sixth form, do the A-levels. The other thing is, maybe we're not giving the support to the children while they're at secondary school to make the right decisions where they go. You know, everybody wants their 4,000 quid, presumably, but it's not always right to do A-levels. They would be better to do a vocational. And please don't blame the teachers. I'm married to one, and they do a good job, and they work till about 11 at night, and they're stressed out, and they need support from the top, from the leadership team, so they can do a better job.
My name is Terry Phillips, I'm a parent and a governor. The PSBP, Judge Carriageway College, to need most urgent repair. Can you explain what will happen to the money if a new build does not go ahead? And another question, if I do that as well, can you confirm what notice period needs to be given to an academy to change it from 11 to 18 to 11 to 16? And as a possible solution, Would it be able to retain no-till sixth form provision with a DfE number the same as Carriageway?
Right, so the DfE money is there to rebuild and refurbish Carriageway in its simplest form. If for whatever reason it was decided to... So rebuild, refurbish Carriageway in its... on this site. If the merger or a merger was to happen on the Medina site, then the DfE, the difference, if you like, so if the DfE was to say, okay, we'll fund two forms of entry on the Medina site, which is between 5 and 7 million, and I've already said that rebuild is around 17, the difference the DfE keeps. Okay,
so we would lose the money if we didn't have a rebuild.
The money gets lost, yes. Right, that's the first thing of that question. There's another bit that I think
is
related.
Giving notices to academies. I want to make sure that's right.
So it is not incumbent on the local authority, nor is it within their powers to actually serve notice on an academy. Okay? That will have to come from, and as you've heard all along, we're working hand in hand with the Department for Education and the Education Funding Agency to get the right solution. If that academy age range had to change, because we all collectively, DfE and ourselves, believe that's the right solution, the Department for Education have got the powers to actually exercise that change. Does that make sense to you? So it goes back to what Jonathan was saying earlier. It may well be at the outcome of this consultation and the decision by the Isle of Wight Council, we have what we see as a way forward, which then needs endorsement by the Department for Education to ensure that everybody can achieve what we want to achieve.
Or the Academy Trust can make that decision itself. Sorry, there was a third thing.
Thank you for the question. I know the answer. The third question was about No Hill being a separately designated sixth form with its own DfE number. That's perfectly possible and comes under option E.
My daughter said she's doing really well, she'd love it. She just fit it coming to the end. She's found it brilliant.
Okay. Now we Someone's grabbed the microphone. I was going to say just too long. So you're there, and then I think the remaining questions we've got three. Oh, everyone's starting to put their hands up now, just to get to 8 o'clock. So we'll go to the front row, come here, and then there, and then I think we may have to draw to a close because we're starting to lose the audience.
My name's Sally. I'm from the Dumpture at Carlsbrook here, and I just want to know if we merge on this site, will we become
No, not necessarily at all. If you merge, then potentially, technically, because you need to create a school with one DfE number, technically something has to lose a DfE number, but you wouldn't have to become an academy. The only way it would become an academy if both schools were to close, and then you reopen something, and the only way you can reopen a school is as an academy, but it wouldn't have to be.
Yeah, just go on the front row, then we'll go there, and then we'll probably finish over there.
Okay. Good evening, David Walton-Weller. This is more of a general academic point. The number of forms of entry, given that we're looking at the outcome for the students, would we for best outcome be looking at a fewer number of forms of entry or a greater number of forms of entry? I mean, what do they have at Harrow and Eton and so on?
There's a few questions that have been rumbling along and we haven't directly addressed just because of the way in which the questions sort of play out at the end, but essentially what we're proposing here, if you look outside of Newport, was what we've called 30 forms of entry, and then for the Newport, call it Newport, but it takes in West Wyke, another 20 forms of entry, which is 50 forms of entry in total on the island. Now the unit that we're talking about there is one form of entry equals 30 children. Now that doesn't dictate to any school how they need to organise. It doesn't say to them build your curriculum in a certain way, have teaching classes of a certain size, but it does give an indication of how big the school might eventually be in the event that it fully subscribes. So a full Christ the King in 5 years' time would have taken 5 lots of 270 children, and that would be 11 to 16 school. But then decisions are taken within the school about how to organise that. So although there's what we've said is 9 forms of entry, if the school can afford it and wants to do it, it can run 12 classes of English for those 9 forms of entry, and then the class size is smaller. And I think a parent here asked, what will class sizes be? Well, in the way in which we broadly describe the model, class sizes are 30, but in practice, schools will do things quite differently. So they often set, in my own subject of mathematics, and so they pick the more able students to be in set ones, and then they work their way through, and then less able students often have a smaller group size, and they get that much more support from their teachers to support their learning. If you go to a school called Westgate in Winchester, they're 8 form entry, and I know that they run 10 classes in English and maths throughout all 5 years of school.
But they have to have the staff to support those classes.
Absolutely, and what's most important in this, and this is why we're putting this forward, and I want to reply to something Mark said earlier, and also address the point of the super school, which is the island's children are here in the numbers that they are. And so if ultimately we retain 6 schools, or ultimately there's a 5 school model, then the same amount of money is generated by that number of children. And so the staffing losses may not be the same in the 6 school model compared to the 5 school model, but it's inevitable, and people talk to this, when you get your income from your number of children, you then have to recruit your staff, your teaching staff, your learning support staff, your administrative support staff, based on that income. And so the total number of forms of entry of children, not the total number of forms of entry offered by the schools, is going to dictate the size of the school and the amount of money it's got and the kind of support it can put in place and how many staff it can recruit to have English groups of a certain size versus maths groups of a certain size all throughout the school for all of the curriculum areas that they have to deliver. And so we have got a school size to come, a school system size to come, that it's going to be. Now we're saying 50 forms of entry, going back to my 30 outside Newport, 20 in Newport point. And that is the maximum size we think it needs to be for a local school offer for all children. In some years, there aren't 50 forms of entry of children coming through the system. It's more like 45, it's more like 44. And so there is sort of spare capacity in that system. And if we retain six schools or we retain five schools, that will be what's going to happen in terms of the number of children joining the school. And it's quite possible that one of the schools will be particularly small. If current parental preference patterns continue, Carisbrook is going to recruit four forms of entry and perhaps lower over a number of years, and that would mean quite a small school with a small resource base from which to run. The forms of entry doesn't tell you what size the classes would be. That would come down to how much money has been recruited. It doesn't tell you how many support staff in admin functions can be retained across that whole system, because it will depend on individual schools' decisions based on the resources they get. Just one comment on super schools. It is bigger than either of the two schools that merged to make the one school in the event of option two being taken forward. The biggest intake into a Hampshire school at the moment, a Hampshire secondary school formerly, is 372 children. That's the published admission number for a school called Wilden in Hedge End. So that's 12 forms of entry in our terms, just measuring forms of entry. We have another school in Hampshire that's recently been recruiting at about 330 to 360 regularly, and it looks like it might offer over 400 places. I think you're starting, when you think about that five times over 400 children, that's a pretty big school, isn't it? 2,000 11 to 16 children. I think an 11 form entry school that always recruits that many children is getting quite big in the system, but outcomes for children in that size of school are still very possible. King's School in Winchester, 330 children in every year group, 1,650 children in the school, 80% plus 5 A's to C's regularly been achieved in that school. So I think super school is sometimes can have a negative connotation. I don't think it should necessarily be taken in those terms, because an 11 form entry school is large but not massive. It's not beyond sort of typical school sizes out there in the country.
We're very little thinking, aren't we? And that's why big schools frighten us. Okay. And that's why our youngsters sometimes fail to get across the water to go to uni, because they get there. I know there's a young lady last year went to Bristol for 2 weeks, came home, she couldn't cope with it.
That's not the case. They need to support our children. Some children are encouraged to leave the island and get off, which my children are, and regularly go to the mainland and have relatives. So that's not the case for all island children, to say that.
So there's a very healthy debate to have on a lot of these things. I think we've got two questions here. And then one there. Now, I think we'll probably have to bring the questions to close, because we are technically past our time already.
Well, I'm a parent and I've got two children here. One's in year 11, just about to go on sixth form, hopefully. And my son's just about to do his options evening next week. And so it's really confusing now to think that you're going to have this consultation and then maybe mergers and things like that. Is that going to affect his? Should that be mentioned at the option meeting? Sure, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll mention something, but
you know, things like that, because will that affect the choice in the education of my son in the next 2 years? When is this consultation ends on in April, and you say, right, we're building in 2017. So if the schools were to merge, when would they merge? If you were having a merger, would it happen next year? Would it happen the year after? Or would it happen in 2017 when you actually rebuild?
I can't give a precise answer, and I don't think Jonathan can, although I don't want to put words taken from your mouth.
In any of the options,
and I'll answer that.
So
we don't know what the outcome's going to be, and therefore we're not going to write an outcome. But can I just say,
primary school with a school that was not equipped for his age group. Okay. If he'd gone to Mount Hill, he'd have been in science labs, he'd have been, things like that, and he's been, they didn't even have anything like that. So he's been held back in some respects because of that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, just in terms of a time scale, because you're right. In Hampshire, going back about 5 years or so, we closed a secondary school. And in doing that, we have to go through these processes. And they're bad in lots of ways, because Steve was talking about needing a stable system. And a stable system is the best place for any child to thrive. But if we're going through this conversation, then there's a bit of instability that can arise from that. but we can't predetermine any outcomes and give you a timetable for the merger that we don't even know is going to happen. But what we can say to you is that when we closed the secondary school in Hampshire, as fast as that decision was taken, we then started to talk to the particular points that you're trying to raise with us. And as a for instance, for young people who had started in Key Stage 4 at the point of time in which we knew there would be a closure, we then made a commitment to those young people finishing their time in that school that was properly resourced to be able to support all of their curriculum studies. In one or two cases that got quite difficult because perhaps there's only one music teacher in the school and one music GCSE class is running, and that music teacher then moves on to another job because they can see the end of their time and tenure in that school. And so we were able to take them to another school to finish any aspect of their curriculum that wasn't possible to them. But once there is a decision, we then look at the timetables for the merger and how it might work, if that's the decision that's taken, and what the two organisations coming together can best put together for those young people to keep stability for either their Key Stage 3 studies or their Key Stage 4 studies, because they're going to need to know that, aren't they? They're going to want to know what the next 2 years is going to look like, as much as they can possibly be told that.
I
couldn't hear your comment.
The disruption that has happened in the middle school and now this school is the same bunch of children. So the outcome for them, for their education, their future employment and their life skills is
you
the
can't
same
mess up
their
own
children.
You don't need 4 years in post-16, never mind three.
They don't get to put on their CV when they apply for a job later on in life, and they're up against someone who went to an outstanding school compared to our children who went through the two-tier, three-tier debacle, Miss Khan Jones debacle and every other debacle going, and then now we've got this next thing coming up. They don't get to put that on their CV that I went to a failing school, that I had three head teachers within a certain amount of time. And there's Joe Bloggs with his outstanding CV. And you've got your passes at B, C, whatever. They've actually done flipping well to get those passes, considering what they've gone through. And you people that are all here and that are public servants, you need to think on this, that our children need stability.
I think in the last 15 months, the Ireland school system has improved beyond recognition. Right? Mentioned earlier on, and the actual outcomes that we're talking about here is going back to my earlier point, it's about working collectively together. There are difficult times within the school system, the present system, there is instability anyway because
but
of the places.
Are the collateral damage.
But actually, if there isn't a real debate about this, and the challenges we've got for making sure your individual children's needs are met. But in each secondary school, there are some major challenges in terms of what's been provided at the moment. Going back to Martin's point, in terms of the amount of money that's going into the schools because of pupil numbers dropping, as an example, and not just in this school, but other schools on the island. And that's one of the reasons that we're going through this consultation, which goes back into the question that's been posed about the free school coming onto the island and the studio school, which is creating further turbulence. So actually, for us to just sit back, going back to Jonathan's earlier point, and do nothing, that would be completely inappropriate as public officers, because actually there is so much turbulence going on. We have a responsibility with you to provide the education that your children deserve. And Jonathan's point is right. The mantra is, as far as we're concerned, is actually every school on this island should be a great school. And that's what we're working towards, but it is not going to happen overnight. But things are improving.
But why aren't they great schools? You actually get right down to the bottom to find out why.
Well,
why aren't they good?
Questions
of it's parental support.
Well, absolutely. Aspirations, going back to what I was saying.
But in county press, all it is working in care homes. Who wants to work in a care home?
Well, I think,
what can children do?
And that's where we collectively have got to do something about it. And I think, as a parent said over there, we have a responsibility to make sure collectively that children are prepared for the future in which they're going to live.
Now,
I just have one more quick question for about the sixth form.
Yeah.
If you did have one sixth form, would you have just sixth form teachers rather than having teachers come down from the secondary schools to teach at sixth form? So would there be full-time sixth form teachers that would literally stay all day on campus at sixth form?
I said earlier there are choices within choices about the designation of a sixth form college, whether it's a free sixth form college, whether it's a collegiate model, where it's
just put together. Options.
If it was just a sixth form college, standalone, independent sixth form college, yes, you would have dedicated sixth form teachers.
Can I?
Right.
Can I
know.
All
right. I was saying. So do you still have a question? We'll have one, two, three, and then I think we possibly are staying on working. As I'm saying, speaking though, I'm going to take the opportunity to get a word in and say we have had recently, a lot of the comments we're having tonight are because of recent history. We had reorganisation a few years ago, and I don't think anyone who's honest about it, political officer or otherwise, would say it went well. Rubbish, and we're coping with that. But one of the things we're getting from that, there aren't many positives out of it, excuse me, but we know what things went wrong there.
Well, why did we have a public consultation about
a
3-tier system going to a 2-tier system?
That was.
As far as I was concerned, it was a Medina Theatre. Yeah, but
did
you
see
it? I'm going to be a bit political, he said. I think we had a system under a previous administration where things were pursued not very well, put into action not very well, and I won't make further comment on that, on the drive behind that, but to say that certainly from myself and my political a lot of lessons about how to do things and not do things can be picked up from that. And I'd like to use that as really the basis for an assurance. I understand your trauma, your upset, your concerns. We are very, very conscious of that. As I said, I'm a parent, I'm very conscious of what my daughter's been through and what she might go through. And so absolutely every step will be taken to minimise and negate that possibility. Can we have one, two, three, and then I really must come to a close.
I don't think this is working anyway. I'd like to reiterate what's just been said in that I'm a parent of three children in the system. One's in year nine, and I know I'm not alone in the current children that are in the system. It'd be really great if they could be left out of the next reorganisation and just give the system time to work through before they're upset again. I don't know what the timetable is, but they're going to be out of the system in a couple of years. Obviously, they've still got to go into sixth form if they choose that route. But to see our children go through the same thing that they've been through again would be hugely traumatic as parents. I don't know whether I speak for everybody. The other thing that I'm concerned about is the statistics that you mentioned earlier, where you took Christ the King into account and removed Christ the King from the figures and looked at what figures were left and based the murder of Medina and Carisbrook on those figures. Christ the King is obviously the only, you know, school that's actually classed as excellent or whatever it's classed as at the moment. So a lot of people are obviously choosing that. When that situation changes and a lot of the other schools come out of special measures, presumably the choices that parents make are going to change. And how have your statistics coped with future projections? Because as far as I'm concerned, these statistics should have been looked at before the three-tier system was changed. Obviously, you just said that the reasons why that wasn't done, or if it was done, we didn't know about it. How do you forward project for when schools come out of special measures? And is the new school, should that option be chosen as a merger, going to be big enough to cope with parents if they don't choose to go to Christ the King anymore in Newport? That's the first question. The second question is, what's going to happen to No Till and the Isle of Wight College if the sixth form, if you produce one sixth form college? And if my memory serves me right, No Till had to be used for education. I'm sure there was some sort of covenant. So will that become a, what will that become? Will that become a big black hole in the council's money? And how will that be accommodated? There's lots of talk of Medina being a college, but what will the new building at Isle of Wight College and No Till be?
I'm not sure we can answer that last one because there are quite a few legal questions around it, and I don't think that should be the driver to how we sort out the school. So that's one I'm not sure I could give an answer to that without having a lawyer, frankly, and I'm not the right sort of lawyer. But as far as the
Christ the King point, in theory at least, there is that possibility that you would get to a situation in which a really unpopular Christ the King was not having parental preferences. So it wasn't filling from parents who were choosing that school for their child, and the other two schools were finding themselves oversubscribed. It's quite tricky to imagine that, because what we've got set up is a total level of demand for school places across Newport that is based around 11 forms of entry, not a Christ the King, and four or five or so coming from West Wyke and Newport itself and going to Christ the King. So it is possible. I'd have to concede that. There is a bit of spare capacity, because as I was saying before, there's 50 forms of entry, and there's not 50 forms of entry in any one given year. We try to reach the maximum demand in each of these different places. And so it would require sort of a certain amount of perfect storm type situation in which the maximum number of children were in the system, all voting for their most local school and not voting for Christ the King, for it ever to mean that we were forcing children to go to Christ the King. But it is just about possible.
So you've got to take into consideration as well that somebody else take Christ the King are selective, and they've only got this limited number of community spaces. So
yeah, and when you say selective, I've got to just put on the record the fact that they have a faith basis to them as an organisation, and they're entitled because of that to allow priority to children who can apply with that faith basis behind their application. And so these families can declare, and to their satisfaction, that is the school's satisfaction, prove that they have some element of the Catholic or Church of England faith that applies to their child. And if the school accepts that, they're then filling a certain number of their places through that process, and then they give out places to the community in the way that you did, and then they award those places using random allocation, so that they don't particularly draw children from only Newport or only Ryde. Excuse me. They then try and make sure it's from the wider island. That is in the forecasting model. There is no way to pretend that's not going on. You just sort of assume that you keep recruiting from those areas, and that might not happen just through parental preference and the random allocation system working in a certain way in a given year.
I think my concern is this going to have to be an ever-changing model? Is it going to be looked at in 2 or 3 years' time and all change again, because of what's going on?
What I would say is it is an ever-changing model in the sense that this is run every year and due to be run again very shortly, because we use the January census as the basis for rerunning the forecasting model, because it's a sort of a more stable point in the academic year. And I don't foresee the trends changing hugely based on what's happened for September 14 admissions at Christ the King. If in September 17 they were offering 270 places and only 205 children joined the school, there would be quite a difference that year in how the forecasting model projected into the future.
Didn't
you're right.
Take two more forms for year 7 this year because it's so overscribed.
Yeah.
But there's not the facilities on that school site to facilitate two more school classes across the whole school.
Right.
So is that not down to greed? I'm sorry, they are not all religious in that school.
No. First of all, I didn't say they were all religious. I said some are being admitted under faith criteria and admission policy.
I shouldn't say it's 50% of that story.
I can't comment. And then the second point would be, as a school that is their own admissions authority, they are allowed to say how many children they will admit.
She's not seeing the 4 grand per head then, she's seeing the head.
No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying the decision they took to take it for children is theirs to make.
I think we're getting into, again, into areas. There's one question there.
All I want to say from what the man said the other day, if Carrickbeck and Medina merged and they merged here, why can't Christ the King then go to Medina and our sixth form stay at no deal as it is? Because I don't think that should be disrupted now, because like I say, mine are both in year 11 and 10. And I want their A-levels to be okay at no deal, where they've gone for an open evening, they've seen it, they've chosen to go there. You don't want them to be disrupted there again.
because they've had all the disruption before, and I don't understand why then that would take the travel, you know, the transport away from Wellington Road.
I think in a nutshell that's an option. There are funding implications, but
so Sixth Form can stay at No Hill, there's no problem with that.
But why is there funding implications?
Well, because you would, again, it's a technical stuff, you would, so the Christ the King site, if that ceases to become a school, then that money, whatever it is, 20 million, 15 million, goes. We don't get that for the benefit of the island.
Couldn't they
push up
Padina?
No.
So you can't just...
You can't move the money around. There's possibly some room for manoeuvre, but it would be a conversation with the minister and a difficult conversation. But the option you've put out, if everyone was to get 99% come back and that's the option, that's the conversation we're going to have with the minister.
I think to a lot of us it was complete news that Carisbrook High School and Dean High School or College or whatever you're calling them now still come separate things when they go to Sixth Form campus.
It was, I understood.
Sixth Form campus was a completely separate entity, all right, using Carisbrook and Medina facilities, but surely that counts as one school, because I know from I've looked around there twice now, there's parents from Ryde, Cowes, it's not just Medina and Carisbrook, so that's news to me that their A-levels still come under Carisbrook Medina.
That is the situation. There's a lady there who's been very patient. I will add in one question, then I'll come to you, sir, and I really must.
My name's Ben McGregor, I'm a child in year 9 at Carisbrook, and I also work for local primary school. There's been some very interesting points this evening, especially around children only in year 9 that have had their education disrupted, and some very interesting thoughts to take back. One of my questions was, you're saying the consultation finishes at the end of April, but I think it's very difficult for people to make a decision or form an opinion on the options when I think there are further questions that go on from that. For example, and again, I'm not saying that this is something that has been mentioned about the Medina site. I think that people can't make a decision about whether it's, you know, they feel it should be all the schools changing sizes or going with the merger or Carisbrook and Medina, because I think there are further questions that come on from that. So at the end of this consultation period, will there then be, you know, is that kind of the nail in the coffin and this is where we're going? Because I think lots of people will have further questions depending on what your preferred option is to then form their opinion, if you see what I'm saying.
How to best manage it
for the staff, the children, the environment.
I think that was a question earlier, and until we know what the outcome is, it's very difficult to answer.
I accept your point, because all of these meetings are going to raise more and more questions. But the 30th of April is 12, 13 weeks away, and during that period of time, raise your questions. We'll try and answer them here. If we can't, we'll go on the frequently answered questions on the website, and that's what this debate is all about. We want you to ask all the questions. We won't have all the answers here and now, but over the course of that period of time, hopefully we'll be able to give you sufficient answers for people who make informed decisions around the data and the information that we're sharing with you.
So then you go away, talk about it again, and then make your decision. Is that how it works?
The consultation will close. We'll see what the outcome is. It could be one of, I mean, we've had about 5 or 6 different options, all arguable in one way or another here this evening. It may be that we then have to approach central government. At that point, once we know what they say, if they're part of the picture, then it may be we have, it's difficult to say, not knowing what the option could be, but it may be we then feel we need to come back and ask further questions, put further information out there. We're not saying it's going to happen like this. We're going to close the consultation, go to the minister, make a decision on July the 15th, whatever it is, bang, bang, bang. Because that's not going to be the best way of doing it.
How about a referendum?
You like referendums, referendum would be very costly. I think if let's see where we get to. But in terms of questions, with all those options, I mean, you can say, well, I quite like the put Christ the King on Medina side option. If there are questions arising from that in your head, then please pose those questions through the consultation process, and the best can be done, answers will be generated. I'll take one final question, so you'll be patient, and this will be a point at which we conclude.
Our parents of three children, all going through all stages through the education. If Medina were to merge here, what is the likely total number of pupils to be on this site? With that answer, how is that comparable to a school on the mainland, and how is that achieving with that number of students? And the third one would be, how would the travel system cope with that number of extra students being on this site with the problems we've got already?
I think you commented on the last part of that question yourself earlier, actually. But Martin, you sort of touched on that earlier.
If we offer 11 forms of entry, you have to have in mind the possibility that it will fill to that extent. So that's 330 children per year group. I'm just talking 11 to 16 phase, I'm not assuming any sixth form outcomes. That's 1,650 children. If we allow for just perhaps not quite full recruitment, but close to full recruitment, you'd be looking at about 1,500 children on site. Hampshire's most successful school, talking now as examples, just because I know them, has an admission number of 280 and is full in every year group. So around about 1,400 to about 1,410 children on site all the time. And so that sort of successful outcomes for children, really rich experiences for children, great sports teams, great after-school activities, all of those things can come about in a school of that size. And that's not intended to say anything about the families that parents here want to say that sometimes we think it's smaller on the island, but 1,500 children, it isn't a really, really big school, and lots of successful things can go on in that size of school. In terms of...
Sorry, well, I think going back to the outcomes you're talking about, that school is 90 plus A star CCs, English and Maths, 5 A star CCs,
yeah,
on a regular basis.
Yeah, it is. I said 80 because it was always over 80, but yeah, it has moved into the 90s a couple of times in the last few years. It's a really, really good school, and those young people go on to sixth form colleges in the area because there aren't many schools in Hampshire with sixth forms. In terms of the transport point, you've got the potential, haven't you, if you're all merging here, for there to be Christ the King recruiting its 9 forms of entry, by whatever means, and the 11 forms of entry, 10 forms of entry, so 1,500 children needing to come to this site as well. Now, this would be the one school for Newport children, in a way, wouldn't it, as well as Christ the King. And so there would be some quite complicated patterns that we need to look at for the children who walked to the site, or cycled to the site, or maybe got dropped off by their parents at the site. And then there would be the contracted buses that... the Isle of Wight would provide for those children entitled to home to school transport. It could be round about 30 contracts needing to come to the road here and drop off on routes coming past Cadwick's site. So you'd need to do quite a lot of work around what's the best possible configuration of the roads around here. Do we need to open up a particular closed route at the moment to try and make it through traffic arrangements, which it always was, we have to look at that. It would be a challenge, but it would be a manageable challenge.
Or we could be really radical and have the younger children come in at 8 o'clock and the older teenagers who don't work well until about 10.
Funny enough, that's exactly what my daughter said.
You could have the older ones, coming in at 10. For a long
time.
Exactly.
Well,
there's a possibility. You
want to
think outside the box.
You want to finish on that point?
Well, I was going to say, I don't know about older children working well after 10. I'm not sure about older adults working after 8:30. I think we've reached a point where we should conclude, just for everyone's health and well-being, really. Thank you ever so much for coming along. I hope we've answered many of your questions. I'm sure there will be many more. In which case, please pose them. If you want to come to another one of these events, the next one is Monday the 9th of February at the Key Arts Centre. That's an open event. And then on the 23rd at Medina Theatre. Again, I think everyone is welcome should you wish to come and raise further questions. Thank you very much for coming along. Thank you for staying with us so late. And we look forward to getting your responses.